Blog Talk Radio.
Howard, and you know what? We missed you last week. Sometimes work does get in the way of fun, and that's what we like to do on the Extra Points Radio Show, is have a little fun while we mix it in with the business of sports. And you know what? While you missed me last week, I missed each and every one of you. I actually missed coming on here at 10 o'clock and seeing the phones light up and being able to press the button and all that good stuff. So the only way to return from a week off is to have a show of Olympic proportion. And today, that's exactly what we have right here on the Extra Points Radio Show. Thank you, and thanks to Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, for going out there, and she's done it again. She has an Olympian as a guest, Lacey O'Neill. Now, if you do not know the name Lacey O'Neill, you need to get to know the name. Miss O'Neill ran track for the United States track team at the 64 Tokyo Games and the 72 Munich Games. I remember those 72 games because those were historic. And so she's gonna be our first Olympian and a woman, no less. So I told you this show is all about equality, and we're gonna give equal time. And so we are excited to have Miss O'Neill on as a guest. She is a wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and bundle that up with Fit with Joy and that energy and that enthusiasm. And I think it'll be a wonderful segment of Olympic proportion. So, hey, before we do that, though, we've got to get into our pay attention topic for this week. Let's start at the University of Maryland College Park. Shout out to Fallon Howard, my daughter, who is there today for the Minnesota game, Maryland-Minnesota. No one cares about the game. Everyone cares about these that came out during the week this week, which clearly held Maryland culpable as they failed to properly diagnose Jordan McNair. How do you fail to diagnose heat stroke? It's coaching 101. It's the first thing you learn. In athletic training, I mean, it's like infancy. As far as training, like everyone knows what heat stroke looks like. How do you do this? The report, I read it, the report said that Jordan's body temperature, once he arrived at the hospital, which, oh, by the way, it took a long time. There were numerous time delays as they kept him on the field, tried to walk him around the field. That's the last thing you do. You throw him in a whirlpool. Everybody knows that, and I'll get to a whirlpool in a second. But here's the thing. His body temp was 106. Now, I'm sorry, but that's on the coach. That I don't believe that's on the trainer. While the trainer could walk over and say, hey, coach, he's had enough, yeah, but that never happened. But for a coach to get that body temperature up that high, come on, what are we doing over there? What's the culture? Which will be the next report, is what is the culture? But back to this whirlpool situation. So the report says that he was too big to get into the whirlpool. Did they just start recruiting offensive linemen? Is that what's going on here? Oh, and then it went further to say that the trainers were too small to get him into the whirlpool. This is ridiculous. That's embarrassing for a Division I school who just moved over to the Big Ten Conference to even report and say. So my last note on this one, DJ Durkin, the head football coach, is still on administrative leave while Jordan McNair's parents still continue to grieve. Not a cool story out of College Park, Maryland. Let me shift gears. Well, he got me again. As you know, for those of you that listen to the Extra Points radio show each and every week, you know that Tiger Woods and I have this bromance where he pulls me in to his golf tournament and then he loses. And then I get disinterested again. Well, he's done it again. The Tour Championship is this weekend, and through 36 holes, Tiger is tied with Justin Rose. Now, this is the first time that Tiger's been at the top of the leaderboard after 36 holes since 2015. Now, I think Tiger's got a shot at winning it, but there's more on the line, which, let me back up. If Tiger wins it, it'll be his 80th PGA Tour win, which is a big deal. To get to 80 is huge. But this FedEx Cup, if Tiger wins it, now he needs some help. He needs about seven other things to happen, to include Justin Rose coming no higher than fifth. So Justin Rose is going to have to take a real tumble in the next couple days. But Tiger could win an extra, as if he needed it, $10 million by winning the FedEx Cup. So I'm going to watch today. I'm going to check his tee time, see what time he's on the link, and pull for him today. I think if he hangs in today, he doesn't melt down tomorrow. I think today is the day he could melt down. So hang in there today, maybe drop a stroke or two, and maybe go back on the leaderboard, maybe second or third. No less than that, tomorrow he can win it. So we're pulling for you, Tiger. Third story. Celia Barquin Arozamena. I've been saying that all morning. This young lady was killed tragically. She's 22 years old. She played golf for Iowa State and the Cyclones, and it's just a sad story. A homeless man killed her this week while she was playing a practice round of golf. By all reports, she was found in a pond. He, of course, was found much later with blood still on his clothes and hands. She was a Big 12 champion. She had won her conference's championship. And, you know, I guess, you know, when you think about it, at the end of the day, it still comes back to mental health. This young man, 22 years old as well, basically told police that he had thought about, you know, killing or raping a woman, you know, before he did it. I mean, it was clearly premeditated. Don't know what the guy's background is. Definitely glad that they caught him, but it still comes back to mental health. And, you know, I know it's important. It's important from the neck down to, you know, make sure your body's fit and you eat right, you exercise. But to me, none of it matters if the neck up isn't right. And in this guy's case, the neck up, here he is just wandering about. And this young lady's on her safe haven. I mean, I couldn't even imagine being on the football field, which I've been. I've walked football fields by myself, alone, just praying, game planning, just listening to music. I couldn't imagine a stranger coming out of nowhere and hitting me over the head or stabbing me or that just because their mental health is weak. So our thoughts and prayers go out to this young lady's family. I saw that the Iowa State Cyclones football team is going to put her initials on a sticker, and their opponent's going to do the same in remembrance of her today. So I think that's a nice, classy touch. But, wow, it's just a sad, sad story all the way around. So kudos to Iowa State and their athletic department, and prayers and wishes to the young lady's family. So our pay attention topic for this week, it has taken us 635 days to come up with this pay. Well, 635 days, and all is well in the land. You got it. The Cleveland Browns won a National Football League regular season game. Shame on the Jets. And their number three pick, Sam Darnold, who looks like a rookie player. I like what Todd Bowles is doing with Darnold. Just he has to go through this, right? He is inexperienced. It's a lot coming at him. The speed of the game's way more than he's ever seen. Let him take his bumps now. He'll be a great one. What I'm concerned about is Jamal Adams and this Jet defense, who allowed Baker Mayfield, because they put Tyrod Taylor out, right? Put him out. But they allowed Baker Mayfield to come in and look like the number one draft pick overall that he is. And so what's funny to me is now Hugh Jackson, who may have saved his job, will not name Baker Mayfield the starter for the Ravens game next Sunday, 4:05. Now, I'm trying to figure this out. You haven't won a game in 635 days. You draft Baker Mayfield number one overall. Number one overall. You don't start him. You start Tyrod Taylor. And then he wins the game. I mean, he looked good. He looked sharp. And I remember there was a 3rd and 8. He threw a slant. Just was a dart. But we don't name him the starter yet. We want to talk to the players about it. Hugh Jackson, you're a buffoon. Man, it makes me sick. I don't know who makes me more upset. Todd Bowles, who has zippo fire, zero. The Jets were in that game the whole way through. Or Hugh Jackson, who goes, well, I know we drafted him number one. I know we haven't really won a lot of games in the last 635 days, but I'm going to wait to name him the starter. But yet me, I am coaching high school football or Division III football. Give me a break. These two clowns, give me a break. One of them's going to go. One of them is going to go. Don't think that Hugh Jackson's out of the woods yet. Oh, no, no, no. If he doesn't name Baker Mayfield the starter first, or let's say he does, and they start a new streak, and they start to lose, which is very possible. So I don't want to give Baker Mayfield and Hugh Jackson all the shine, though. That Cleveland defense, Garrett and a couple other guys, starting to really impress, starting to come around. Todd Bowles, on the other hand, a defensive quote-unquote guru, former defensive coordinator, former safety with the Washington Redskins, Super Bowl champion. His defense with Jamal Adams, they don't look very good. One of these two coaches will not make it. I'd like to see both of them make it. But I'm pulling more for Todd because he played for the Redskins. So, anyway, that is our pay attention topic for this week. I do not want Cleveland to start a new streak. So just a little secret, Hugh Jackson, before I segue over to the Redskins. You got the Raiders coming up. Then you got the Ravens. You're 1-1-1. This is a critical 2 weeks. You're 1-1-1. You go out to Oakland, where Gruden's off to a slow start. You could steal one there. And then you got a tough Ravens team, which will be Baker's toughest test. But John Harbaugh's got he's got a lot of pressure on him right now to win. So we've seen the best of the Ravens and the worst of the Ravens. You could sneak up and get another win. And then you got the Steelers down the road, which we know what's going on there. So let's not start a new streak, Hugh Jackson. Let's not do that. All right, speaking of new streak, we have seen, and this is Redskin Roundup, and for those of you that don't like the Redskins, oh, well, you're going to like them after I finish this because that's all I'm going to talk about. So here we go. So the Skins looked good in that first week. They looked bad in the second week. So it's kind of almost like a lie. There's a truth in there somewhere. You just got to find it. Well, the Redskins are no different. there's some truth in there somewhere. You just got to find it. And you got to know, well, which one is going to show up. So I'm going to go back to the keys to winning tomorrow's game. Green Bay's in town, 1 o'clock kickoff, FedEx Field. First key, the defensive line has to hit Aaron Rodgers. They got to hit him. He's a sitting duck. He cannot run. So I'm not saying put a bounty on the guy. I'm not saying, hey, Jonathan Allen, you get a cupcake if you sack him. But there needs to be, and I think Jim Tom Sula, Redskin defensive line coach, can get this in their head. You need to take him out mentality. Now, that means it's a mentality. That doesn't mean you actually do it, but that means you're trying to hit him every chance you get. Don't hit him late. Don't hit him low, but hit him early and hit him often. So I'm going to tell you this. This is going to be a key to the game. It's not sack. It's hit. And I'm actually going to chart them tomorrow. I haven't charted plays in a long time. I'm going to chart the number of hits that they get on Aaron Rodgers. I'm saying if they get 1 a quarter or 4 for the game, Skins win this football game. And I'm going to include Kerrigan, who's a linebacker, and Preston Smith, who's a linebacker, as D-line. Get some hits on the guy. He cannot run. He's a wounded duck. He's already said, I probably won't make it through the year. Okay, then take him out now. Take him out. And if you take him out now, they got to put a backup in. DeShone Kizer, not very good. And you win the football game, hand the ball off. All right, so that's key number one. You got to get 4 hits on Aaron Rodgers. Key number two, the corners cannot fall asleep. They got receivers. Devontae Adams, Reggie Cobb, they got guys. It's still about Aaron Rodgers. Now, our safeties are playing well, and our safeties need to continue the ball-hawking mentality. They're tackling well. They're picking up loose balls. They're covering a lot of ground. You know, DJ Swearinger playing lights out. Good stuff. But it's the corners I'm worried about. I'm worried about, for example, Rodgers is going to get his completion. But when he gets his completion, make sure we tackle Josh Norman. Make sure we tackle. So I'm going to put a number on this one. The number I'm going to put on this one is Aaron Rodgers has to be held to 250 yards passing. That's going to be tough to do, but you got to do that. That tells me that the corners are awake. They're tackling. He's going to make completions, but you got to make sure. You can't have Cobb, like he did a couple of weeks ago, on a slant, taking 75 yards to the house. That's how Aaron Rodgers gets his yards. That can't happen. So we got to make sure that our corners are awake. Now, you see how the two keys go hand in hand. The D-line's got to hit him, but when they don't hit him, the corner's got to be awake. All right? Key number three of 4 keys. This is key number three. You lost your left tackle, Sean LaValle, who in my opinion has seen better days. He's just so banged up, so unhealthy, you know, kind of in the twilight of his career. They said he's injured. Okay, let somebody else play. He's not playing well. So, but here's the thing. The whole offensive line has to play better than it did, and here's why. So you go out and you get 2 new wide receivers. You got Perryman from the Ravens, who was cut. You got Michael Floyd, who's been cut 3 times, and not a good character guy. Throw those guys in early and give them a couple deep balls. Well, the only way that Alex Smith can throw a deep ball is if the offensive line gives him time to do it. You know, and people want to complain about the Giants, and let me talk about Eli for a second. Eli was sacked 6 times in 1 game. You're not going to win. You're not going to win. So what Alex Smith has said is, I'm not going to get sacked because I'm just going to check it down. Well, no, Eli's not trying to check it down. Eli's trying to get the ball to Odell and some of the other guys that they got on the staff, that are on the roster, that can go deep. So Eli's trying it. He gets hit for it. So Alex Smith needs to try a little harder, and it's just not working out. So Sean LaValle's out. This offensive line, Trent Williams, you guys got to play better in the passing game, so that you're good to go in the in the run game, which will bring back the resurgence of Adrian Peterson. Now, speaking of AP, or is it AD? You know, we never did resolve that. AD meant all day, right? That means give him the ball all day, never gets tired, all that good stuff. But his initials are AP, Adrian Peterson, so I'm going to give him that. But anyway, so AP needs to have at least 85 yards rushing. Here's why that's the key to the game. Because if AP is on the field, A-Rod, meaning Aaron Rodgers, is not on the field. That's really the only way you can stop Aaron Rodgers. You cannot stop Aaron Rodgers when he's on the field. He's going to get his completions. He's going to get his deep balls. He's going to get that 250 yards. But if you can shorten this game by having a good running game, which goes hand in hand with this offensive line play, you win this football game, and how badly they need a win. Because every article is talking about this attendance thing, the apathy of the Redskins fans, that sort of thing. And when Daniel Snyder isn't making money, he makes changes because he has to have a splash. He has to have something that makes people return to the ballpark, to the stadium. And a new coach would do that. So I haven't looked at the short list of names yet, as I already have Jay Gruden as good as gone. If they lose this game, they're 1-2, but more importantly, 0-2 at home. 0-2 at home against a team that they probably would be battling for a wild card spot with, which would be Green Bay. I don't think Green Bay is going to win the NFC Central. Tampa's in the South, I'm sorry. Chicago's looking real, real good. I mean, Chicago with Khalil Mack, They and Trubisky's getting there slowly. That's why I say be patient with young quarterbacks. Trubisky's slowly getting there. I hate to say it, but he kind of looks like Alex Smith. He really does. He kind of checks the ball down. He's athletic. He runs when he needs to run. It's really kind of weird how that works out. So those are my four keys. Let's go over them again. The D-line has got to hit Aaron Rodgers. Not sack him, just hit him. Got to be a take-em-out mentality. Four hits in the game, Redskins win the game. You can chart it yourself. Corner's got to be awake. I'm not saying play lights out because you can't. He's going to get his completion, no doubt about that. But you got to tackle after the completion. There cannot be any long, what they call yak, yard after catch, or rack, run after catch. It can't be any of that, all right? Sean LaBeouf's out. This offensive line's got to step up. You're going to have a new left guard in there. But the entire unit's got to step up. Let Alex Smith throw the ball deep downfield. Try your new toys out, which is Michael Floyd. I think Michael Floyd will be here about a month. He'll be out of here. He'll do something stupid. I think Perryman will drop too many passes. He'll be out of here. I thought they were two bad picks. But, hey, let's go with it. Let's go with it. And let's at least try and get the ball downfield. If we get the ball downfield, that means the safeties have to play back. That means they can't crowd the line of scrimmage, which gives Adrian Peterson a chance to run the ball, get his 85 yards, which keeps Aaron Rodgers off the field. Does it all make sense to you now? Not hard at all. It's really not hard. Can you tell I should not have sat out a year of coaching this year? I cannot wait to get back to coaching. I just cannot wait. Speaking of which, I heard that my old team, Bishop Ireton High School, lost yesterday 35-0. They've been outscored 71-0 in the last 2 weeks. Does Coach Howard go back and save the day? My goodness, 71-0? Man, I could line up five people and not play that poorly in defense. That's terrible. So hey, look, I am excited about, first of all, I'm excited about the Redskins. I will give my prediction later on in the second half of the show. With Fit with Joy, as she'll come in and we'll do predictions. But I got to tell you, I'm really, really excited about our guests. And we're going to take a break here in a second. But, I was able to meet Lacey O'Neill some time ago, and Fit with Joy was able to reconnect with her. And just the experience and the wealth of knowledge and wisdom and really a voice of equality. She's big Title IX, and just to be able to have that caliber of guest on the Extra Points Radio Show is, like I said, of Olympic proportion. So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break. And before I take this break, there's one other thing I want to talk about on with the Redskins. One more thing. And that is, again, I want to go back to this piece about the not making money and this fan thing. Now, yesterday I was out and about the city, right? Got my hair cut, all that good stuff. Did my run a block, walk a block. I'm feeling good. Yesterday was a good day. And I noticed all of these Packer backers. I go over to the bank, and I notice there's Packers sweatshirts, cheeseheads in downtown D.C. And I'm sitting here going, you know what? If this game's on television tomorrow, we're going to see more blue and yellow than – I mean, I'm sorry, more green and yellow. I'm not talking about blue. More green and yellow than burgundy and gold. So, A, I hope the Skins wear the burgundy pants so that that lessens the amount of gold that the Packers can wear. And second of all, I hope our fans do turn out, but I get it. It is frustrating to not have gone to the playoffs or at least have a playoff win in so long. It's hard to get out there. You know, I'm still looking for tickets, and people, you know, put the tickets at face value. Nobody's paying face value for a Redskin ticket anymore. It just doesn't have that type of juice. So, you know, I just want to say to all you season ticket holders who are out there, go out there and root for the home team. But if you don't go, I get it, because I ain't going. I'm not going out there when I can stay in the quiet confines of FedEx apartment and watch the game right from there. So that's the way I'm going to do it. So anyway, that's my spiel on that. If Snyder isn't selling beers, he's changing coaches, period, the end. As Marty Ball Schottenheimer, who had 1 year, he went 8-8, he fired him. As the old ball coach, well, we're not that, you know, we didn't play very good. We're not that good. Well, no, you're not that good, Steve Spurrier, and he fired you. And he didn't fire Gibbs, but Gibbs said, you know what, nah, y'all can have this. Then they go with Jim Zorn, come on, and bring in a guy that was calling bingo games? Come on, man, give me a break. All right, I got to hit some Chuck music. Hey, my man Dave in New York, thanks for listening. I see a ton of New York. Appreciate you listening. Dave, this one's for you. You asked for Chuck music. Well, guess what? That'll never change on the Extra Points Radio Show. Whenever we go to break, that means Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers. Rest in peace, Chuck. We love you. We'll be right back with our first Olympic guest, Lacey O'Neill, Fit with Joy, coming back on the Extra Points Radio Show. We'll be right back. You know her, you love her, you can't live without her. fit with Joy Henry, who has outdone herself once again by securing our first Olympic guest. Fit with Joy, are you there?
Hey there, Coach. Fit with Joy here.
And let me guess, you're either working out or about to work out, but you're going to do this, help me out here with this interview first. Am I correct?
Yeah, just about. I'm here at a local rec center in Northeast Washington, D.C., watching some tennis out on the court. Got two young ladies going at it, and I got our kids in the park running around on the green. So it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and I got a treat. Just for you and just for our guest, Lacey O'Neill. So let me just do that, shall I? And for those of you that don't know that music, that is the theme of the Olympic torch. So we finally got that on with our crack staff at Blog Talk Radio. Thank them for that. They got it just in the nick of time. So now I want to bring in, this is history. Our first Olympic guest, Lacey O'Neill, are you there?
Yes, I am. And I just got chills when that music came on. that was quite an event.
Did.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank you, thank you. I know you did get chills, and I know Joy does, too, every time she hears it. I tell you, this is what I'm going to do. This is going to be the easiest interview you've ever done because I'm gonna ask you two real easy questions, and then I'm going to turn the interview over to Joy, and you guys just had that conversation that you had. But I got to ask you, how do you go from birth to being an Olympian? I mean, it doesn't happen for everybody. I can't even wrap my head around being born, and now I'm in the Olympics. How does that work? How does that happen?
Well, you know, I always say now that I'm older, nothing is accidental. It's divine order. But I would say that the first recognition will be a teacher or a coach, and I value teachers and I value coaches because they can identify an Olympic champion, you know, as early as probably birth. They see qualities
wow.
right away, you know, and they start saying or telling the parents, you know, this child has potential, could even be an Olympian. I had never heard of the Olympics until I was like around 14 or 15 years old. And it was my coach that told me, oh, you're going to be an Olympian. I said, okay. But,
and there you go.
Yeah.
And there you have it. That's great.
So,
I'm watching all this media. I'm watching all this media around, you know, what is now a larger-than-life spectacle called the Olympiad. What do you see now as the difference, you know, from when you were a participant, and that was in the 64 Tokyo Games and the 72 Munich Games, compared to now when you're a viewer and you're watching the Olympics on television, what's the media difference for you?
Well, yeah, that's exactly it, media. Back in the day, you know, there was no television. It was not televised. I mean, it was movies, and then you would see it, you know, in spurts, but there was no real television going until the 72 Olympic Games when we did, you know, I guess actually in 68 is when they really started televising it, you know. But, and then, you know, we have more sponsors, more people are involved in it. And I think that's what's getting a lot of, you know, the publicity. We've got stars coming out of the Olympics, and every 4 years it's a big deal, but during the years, you know, leading up to the Olympic Games, you've got great advertising and more community involvement with the Olympics. So I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, it's ongoing. We have programs, the run, jump, throw programs that athletes go out to the community and get involved with young people. so that they know a little bit more about the Olympic Games and how to become involved. So a lot of things have changed since back in the day when I was training for the Olympic Games.
Hey there, Lacey. This is Joyce.
Hey, Joy.
Yes, I will tell you that I was so invigorated when that thing came on. Coach Howard just surprised me. So you and me both, from a junior Olympian to an Olympian, I can totally relate with that score. So I'm going to take that torch from Coach Howard and just follow along with the lead in terms of being from birth to an Olympian. So like I said, I'm a junior Olympian, and I'm sure as there are steps in football to being in the AFL to the NFL and then even in college, Division I and Division IIs and things of that nature, what is the difference in particular with that particular background, that training, all that is entailed?
Well, as you well know, Joy, you started off as a youngster like I did. I started off at 11 years old. Now you all have so many, experienced trainers and coaches. Coaches now have to be certified. So we've learned a lot about the body. We've learned a lot about technique. My degree in biomechanics, which is really what I call a glorified kinesiology, but it's more intense. We can now do digital movies and to learn how the body moves and what's more effective in terms of placement. So there's a lot going on within the sports evolution, should I say. And we're learning a lot more. And I was listening to the comments about safety and heat strokes. You know, that's still something, if your coaches are not cognizant of what the athletic body can take, you know, we got a problem. And so certifying coaches, certifying trainers, better equipment, better, surfaces, all those things have evolved since I started off. We ran on dirt. We had, track spikes that were, like almost 3 and 4 inches long. And so now everything has really changed. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what's going on.
You certainly did. Now, I hear everything you're saying. I appreciate you attacking along with what Coach Howard was saying earlier with the safety features, the equipment. You talked about more than I even asked for, so I definitely appreciate that. You more than answered the question. I mean, let's go to the media standpoint and add on what Coach Howard said earlier in terms of the differences as being an actual Olympian and being a viewer, see the differences in safety and equipment, the celebrity, the advertising, the marketing. Now, let's go specific to women and how that has changed in coming of age.
Well, it's been very slow. We're still marginal. They seem to bring, I can't say this, the women that are now doing color are more, they sound like sports people now. Earlier on, we had beauty over, really knowing the game, particularly football. I'm a football fan. And so when I do hear some of the ladies that are speaking, they seem to know what they're talking about. But they're still marginalized. They don't get the chance. But I'm happy to see that because that brings more female viewers into the sports. In reference to being a viewer now, looking at how the media treats females in particular, we're still marginalized, like I said. I don't know if that will ever change because sports still is, when you think about sports, you always think about men first or boys first. So Title IX has tried very hard. We have taken a step back, a big step back, because instead of having more female coaches, we still have more male coaching females. That's not a bad thing, but the other side of that is that why is that so? And then why do they take away male sports and make it seem that the female sports is responsible for that in some schools. I think that's very unfair. And so we get a lot of kickbacks from coaches saying, well, if we have Title IX, we could have a better football team. We could have a track team. But now we got to split the money up. I think that's very unfair.
Miss O'Neill, that is an interesting perspective, especially coming from a young lady like myself who loves sports all around, especially the fact that you talked about football and liking it. I particularly didn't even know I could play football. I learned about being an athlete, like you said, from a teacher who saw the ability for me to separate from the boys and challenge them accordingly, and that was around in elementary school. And so I saw the ability to play football from none other than the coach here, Coach Howard. He put me on his women's tackle football team in Washington, D.C. So that's so interesting, that unity with Title IX, and then you're talking about the backlash that could be at that, where, well, if we're going to give women the opportunity, then we got to take away from other people, and it shouldn't be that way. There should be a level playing field. So in the sense of that, we have the now current movements that try to get it going and give more of that ability and equality. What do you say that the Me Too movements and things of that nature have in to do with particularly sports in that kind of sense?
Oh, boy, that is such a, yeah, it's unfortunate.
I did give you the baton with the heavy load to pick up on the lead.
Yeah, that's a topic that has probably been around for a long time. And a lot of this is because young women, including myself, we look at our coaches sometimes as father figures. We get so involved with them. I remember on occasions back when I was running, a lot of young girls adored their coaches so much that they began to romance the idea that they were more than just, father figures. They wanted them to be their husbands. And guess what? Some of them married their coaches. Now, you know, this was back, I know at least three track girls that married their coaches. And they stayed married until, you know, either they died or what have you. That was all right, but I don't think the intention was there at first. I believe it was really a coach-athlete situation. And so coaches do have to draw that line. You know, they have to say, listen, you know, you're like my child, and don't cross that line. But you do have – that's why in track and field we have watchdogs, but they're called something else. I can't think of the name of it. But you have to take a test before you can even coach young people now, male and females. And if you cross that line, you are barred for life. Some of them are suspended, but some are barred for life for crossing that line. And so I think this is a good thing for track and field.
I hear what you're saying. I think you touch on where Michigan State is concerned with the gymnasts, and those particular scenarios aren't consensual, and they're of age as they're in college, but things are done against them in a forcible way, and it's definitely not a becoming relationship in the sense where there is love and trust in that situation. So I definitely see where the coinciding of athletics and the movement and the Title IX and the advancement of women trying to be about the sport, and then there are other things that come into that shape or form. What would you say in your day and age would be the game changers that kind of brought this into the forefront?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand your question. Say that again now.
So as far as the movements that we have, and just in general, Me Too, we have the going against the old guard, the boys club, and trying to break down those barriers. Sports comes into that with the Title IX, as you said, the equality, the ability to play sports. And what would you say in your day and age when you were in the Olympics, where were the game changes? Did you see any particular women that were having that fire, that flame lit, that they saw this disparities and wanted to change things?
Well, yeah, as soon as, you know, Title IX was not originally for sports. It had something to do with education and the disparity when a woman was trying to get her doctorate degree. But it went over, it spilled over to two sports. Some of the game changers, Donna De Verona, who was the first female to do color for sports, she showed that she was articulate enough to speak about and to make it interesting for everyone to hear her speak about, you know, track and swimming and all these other things. There are many pioneers out there in tennis. You know, you had Billie Jean King, you know, after she beat Bobby Riggs. I mean, we have a lot of female game changers, and we have, you know, can't discount the men who have young children, girls who are participating in sports, and they came forward. We had senators. We had President Carter, who was also very much in favor of seeing things change for women in sports. So, and then you have the women in sports. You have Black Women in Sports Foundations. All of these things that have attributed to women being more acceptable in the realm of sports. We are still, like I say, marginalized when it comes to money, you know, purses and all that. There is some equality in track and field because, you know, we have some outstanding women internationally that demand the same amount of money that the men are getting. But then there are endorsements that the men get that the women don't get. So, you know, it's still a lot to, you know, we're still fighting. We'll probably fight till the end.
Right. As much movements and much struggles, there's always something to be won. And it's kind of transcends with sports, of course, where you're going after the goal, whether a finish line, whether a goal post, whether end zone, there's always something that you're going, you're continuing for. I mean, we could do that all day with you. You're just an Olympic superstar, and this conversation can continue to go on. And I really appreciate the time you took today. We were going past what we expected, but that's to be expected. So let's give the audience what you have in the future, where they can find you, where they can get some more nuggets of knowledge.
Well, I'm on Facebook. Lacey O'Neill. I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm with the Potomac Valley Track Club. So they can, you know, Facebook me. They can, my email is lace813@aol.com. And I'm also a Mary Kay consultant. So
Awesome. That keeps you beautiful.
And beauty,
yeah.
And track all those together.
That is so true. I mean,
well, see,
I'm
the luckiest guy in the world. You'd remember that Joy was a junior Olympian, and obviously she's connected me with an Olympian in Lacey O'Neill. And just sitting back and being a fly on the wall and listening to that conversation did my heart good because, Miss O'Neill, you're right. You know, we've got still a long, long way to go to get this thing equaled up. But thank goodness. Serena's check was the same check that the male champions was, so I'm glad about that. And we would love to have you. I know, right? Woo woo! We would love to have you back on the show because I want to talk to you more about this whole the health thing. And I'm glad you heard me talk about Jordan McNair and the heat stroke victim out of the University of Maryland. And I really want to talk to you a little bit more about that. So we'd love to have you back, and we're going to go pick some games right now. So keep listening to
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And, okay. and we hope to see you again, not hear you, but see you again down the road.
Well, you have a great show, and I'm going to start listening to you.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lacey O'Neill.
Awesome.
I tell you what a gem. What a gem. She is a gold medal person, no doubt about it, a gold medal person. And let me shift over. First, let me do a two-minute warning. And a two-minute warning, I'm actually going to borrow from Lacey O'Neill. And it's about divine order. And it's something I preach all the time, and I really, really believe in it. And I believe that I was put on this planet as a coach. And nothing does my heart fonder than to advance and develop people. And when those people, I've seen over 31 seasons of coaching football, when those people value that gift and talent that I have, which is a divine order, they are successful. And they are as rich as they will ever be. So thank you, Lacey O'Neill. You didn't know you were going to contribute to our two-minute warning, but you just did. So thank you so much. All right, Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, we got some predictions here. I'm going to start with the easy stuff first. Nats, Mets. Nobody cares. You know, they're giving away the ticket. I got the Nats over the Mets, but who cares? What say you?
Well, that's a very interesting perspective. Like I said, no one cares. These two teams are not going anywhere. They're not going to be in October. They're not going to really do much of anything. Me being a New Yorker, not only just that, but the borough queen, the queen that I am, I got to stay true. I was just in Queens in the U.S. Open, a stone throws away from the Citi Field. Got to go with them. Mets coming to town and make my heart just go founder.
I got, let me switch over to college football, which is my favorite sport. Tennessee and the Vols, they are painting the field, checkerboard, orange and white. They're going up against the Gators and Dan Mullen, and then he's back in Florida. I got Tennessee winning this just because it's Rocky Top. Woo! Rocky Top all day long. So I got Tennessee winning this one. What say you?
So ironic you would use this game. For one, I was just walking over here to the recreation center, like I said, Sherwood specifically, and a gentleman had on an old school throwback. I think it was basketball, but nevertheless, it was, in a sense, divine. It was like a symbolic for something because we have Lacey O'Neill, who is an alumni. She is a Lady Gator. So I'm going to roll with her. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to hope that they snap these volunteers.
All right, very good. So right now, we haven't picked the game the same yet, which is rare, because I don't know if I said it, but I did pick the Nats, so I don't know. But let me roll up now to Roll Tide. So Alabama comes in ranked number one. They're going to play both quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts so far has not blown up. He's hanging in there, but they're going against Jimbo. And Jimbo 2-1, this is like a recruiter's dream. The winner of this probably gets the top recruiting class next year, the winner of this game. Bama, Roll Tide, Texas A&M. I got Bama. What say you?
That's a really good game. I think that it's not the game to watch for with the playoffs. I'm trying to remember the other game. I think it's Mizzou and Georgia. But nevertheless, they're still top 20 ranked teams. And you got FSU formerly coached with the Texas A&M. So Jimbo, it would be nice if he could roll and just become a tsunami over this Tide, but I don't think he's going to be able to get that rolling. And so I'm going to have to go with you on this one and go with Alabama.
Roll Tide. All right, let's switch over to the NFL. And your New York Giants were pathetic on Sunday night. They got Houston this week. Deshaun Watson doesn't seem to be quite the same Deshaun just yet, but I think it'll click, and I think it'll click tomorrow. I got Houston over the Giants for many reasons. I am watching the Giants very closely and the way they use Saquon Barkley, not using him properly. They're using him as a third down back. That's not going to work. Eli got sacked six times in a game, and quite honestly, they missed Olivier Vernon like no tomorrow. So I got Houston over the G-men. What say you?
Well, as a New Yorker again, we are really struggling. You just talked about the Jets giving Cleveland early Christmas gifts. And now you got the Giants going against Houston, who lost last week, and this will put us at just the biggest deficit in trying to go to the playoffs. We are that, though. We do wild cards. We go ahead and win the Super Bowl and do all those different things. We've got the pieces. We don't have the lines that we're supposed to build to protect Eli. So I'm not sure. I mean, then you got, like you said, Saquon not being utilized properly. Maybe we could get Saunders. Maybe Saunders could leave Penn State early, my alumni. Maybe we are or not. I honestly can't go against New York. I'm a Giant, and my heart is too gargantuous, and I'm this Giant for me to go against them. So I'm sorry, Deshaun Watson. It's cute that you came back and you tore your ACL, and now you're trying to make a run for it. But Giants over Houston.
All right, very good. I'm going to swing over to the Whippy of Western Pennsylvania, where I think there's an intriguing game here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had the hardest three-game opener in National Football League history. The third game is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fitzmagic going up against really what's uncharacteristically a Steeler team. They're not going to pay this guy the money. I don't know why he's even waiting for the money. He's not going to get it. This is a very intriguing game. If the Steelers lose to Tampa Bay, it's going to be a real problem. Like, Mike Tomlin's going to start getting heat. But then there's Fitzmagic. I don't believe in Fitzmagic, but it's hard to argue with Fitzmagic. I'm picking the Steelers in this one. I'm going with the Steelers. I don't like the Steelers, but I do like Mike Tomlin, and I think they win the game. What say you?
I think that I got to go with the Magic. Oh, it's Magic, you know. I seriously believe that there's something to it. He was with the Jets. He brought them to a good standing at some point. He had a controversy with Geno, and now he's in a place where Jameis Winston has to go ahead and sit out, and he's taking the team by the reins. And I think that there's something to be said about that. I don't know what's going on in Steeler Nation because a lot of the players aren't not with everybody. I mean, you got Antonio Brown having personal issues after he put something on Twitter, so I can't roll with them. I'm going to go with the Magic, you know.
Wow, okay. And then finally the home team, FedEx Field, 1 o'clock kickoff. I went through the keys of the game earlier in the show. Bottom line is, it's Aaron Rodgers on the field. If Aaron Rodgers finishes the game, they win the game. I got Green Bay at Lambeau Field, excuse me, at FedEx Field. What say you?
Well, discount double check. We haven't heard about that in a long time yet. I don't think that they can get to him or even touch him, okay? That will just be it. It will be Green Bay. The Cheeseheads will be singing the praises, and that would be all that she's saying.
There we go. Okay, very good. Hey, listen, great show. I want to take a minute and thank all of our listeners. I'm not sure if it was Lacey O'Neill being on there in a gold medal performance or what, but we got great listenership. Thank you, Fit with Joy, again. You've outdone yourself, and I appreciate that. And, hey, as always, you can always, always listen to us every Saturday morning, 10 a.m., Blog Talk Radio. We're not hard to find. And as always, the extra point is up.
And in Olympic standing, it is good.
Finish ball.